iBridge Audio presents Communion with God by Neil Donald Walsh. Read by Ellen Burstyn, Neil Donald Walsh, and Edward Asner.
Welcome. I'd like you to consider something extraordinary. I'd like you to consider the possibility that this experience, the experience you're about to have, was created just for you. If you can accept that construction, I believe you're about to have one of the most powerful experiences of your life. Now, I'd like you to consider something even more extraordinary. I'd like you to consider the possibility that this experience was created for you, by you. If you can imagine a world in which nothing is happening to you, and everything is happening through you, you will have gotten the message that you intended to send yourself here within 7 sentences. You can't ask for a message to be delivered faster than that. Welcome to this moment. You are welcome here, for this moment was designed by you to bring you to the blessed experience you are about to have. You have sought the answers to life's most meaningful questions, and you have sought them repeatedly, earnestly, and sincerely, or you would not be here. This search has been going on inside of you, whether you have made it a major part of your exterior life or not. It is what has caused you to listen to this program. With your understanding of that, you have unraveled one of life's biggest mysteries. Why things happen the way they do. All of this in 14 sentences. Welcome to this meeting with the Creator. It is a meeting which you could not have avoided. All people meet with the Creator. It is not a question of whether, but of when. People of earnestness, seeking truth, experience the meeting sooner rather than later. Honesty is a magnet. It attracts life, and life is just another word for God. The person who honestly seeks, honestly receives. Life will not lie to itself. That is how it has come to pass that you have arrived here, listening to these words. You have placed yourself here, and it has not been by accident. Carefully consider how you got here, and you will see that. Do you believe in the process of divine inspiration? I do. I believe in it for you, and I believe in it for me. Some people don't like it when another person says they've been inspired by God. As I see it, there are several reasons for this. First, most people don't think that they have ever been inspired by God, at least not in the most immediate way, that is, through direct communication, and therefore, anyone else who makes such a claim is immediately suspect. Second, claiming that God is one's inspiration appears to be a bit arrogant, implying that the inspiration may not be argued with, nor found lacking in any way, given its origin. Thirdly, many of those who have claimed divine inspiration have not been the easiest people to live with. Witness Mozart, Rembrandt, Michelangelo, or any one of a number of popes, as well as countless others who have done some pretty crazy things in the name of God. Finally, we have made those whom we do believe have been directly inspired by God into such holy men and women that we don't know quite how to deal with them or how to interact with them in a normal way. Simply put, as wonderful as they are, they can make us uncomfortable. So, we're pretty skittish about this God is my source thing, and perhaps rightly we should be. We don't want to swallow whole everything that others tell us, simply because they claim to carry a message from the Most High. But how can we know for sure what is divine inspiration and what is not? How can we be certain who is speaking eternal truth? Ah, that is the great question. But here is the great secret. We do not have to know. All we have to know is our truth, not someone else's. When we understand this, we understand everything. We understand that what others are saying doesn't have to be the truth. It only has to lead us to our own. And it will do that. It cannot help but do that, eventually. All things lead us to our innermost truth. That is their purpose. Indeed, that is the purpose of life itself. Life is truth, revealing itself to itself. God is life, revealing itself to itself. You could not stop this process if you wanted to, but you can speed it up. That is exactly what you are doing now. That is why you have brought yourself to this program. This message does not claim to be the truth. It is intended to guide you to your innermost wisdom. It is not necessary for you to agree with its contents for it to do that. In fact, agreeing or not agreeing will be irrelevant. If you agree, it will be because you see in this material your own wisdom. If you disagree, it will be because you do not see your own wisdom. In either case, you will have been led back to your own wisdom. So thank yourself for this experience, because it has already brought you back to clarity about one major point. The highest authority lies within you. Each of us has the ability to access eternal wisdom. Indeed, I believe that God is inspiring all of us, all of the time. And while all of us have had this experience, some of us have chosen to call it something else. Serendipity, coincidence, luck, accident, freak experience, chance encounter, perhaps even divine intervention. We seem to be willing to acknowledge that God intervenes in our lives, but unable to embrace the idea that God may actually directly inspire us to think or to write, to say or to do a particular thing. That seems to be going too far. Well, I'm going to go too far. I'm going to say that I believe God has inspired me to say what I'm saying and for you to listen to it. Now let's test this idea against some of the reasons you might have to be skittish about that. First, I am clear, as I have just said before, that all of us are being inspired by God all of the time. It is not my thought that you and I are unique, or that God has bestowed upon us a singular power, or granted us some special dispensation allowing us to commune with the divine. I believe that everyone is in a state of such continual communion, and that we may consciously experience this whenever we choose. Indeed, as I understand it, this is the promise of many of the world's religions. Second, I do not believe that because one is experiencing a moment of open contact with the divine, that one's utterances, actions, or writings are rendered infallible. With all due respect to any religion or movement that claims its founder or its present leader to be infallible, I believe that it is possible for divinely inspired people to make errors. And I believe, in fact, that they make them routinely. I do not, therefore, believe that every word of the Bible or the Bhagavad Gita or the Quran is literally true, that every utterance of the Pope when speaking ex cathedra is correct, or that every action ever taken by Mother Teresa was the right and perfect action for that moment in time. I do believe that Mother Teresa was divinely inspired, but being divinely inspired and being infallible are two different things. Third, I can be very difficult to live with. Nobody knows this more than those who have lived with me. And while I do not claim imperfections for you, I do not think that my own imperfections disqualify me from receiving God's help and direct guidance. In fact, I believe the opposite is true. Finally, I don't believe that I am in any danger of becoming holy to the point of making anyone uncomfortable. Actually, again, the opposite may be true. If people are uncomfortable with me at all, it is probably because I am not holy enough. It is a challenge to walk my talk. Oh, I can write very inspiring things. I can say very inspiring things. But I sometimes catch myself doing things that aren't very inspiring. I'm on a path, and I have by no means reached my destination. Nor, would it appear, am I even getting close. All that is really different between the me of now and the me of yesteryear is that now I have at least found the path. Yet, for me, that is a great advance. I've spent most of my life not even knowing where I was going, then wondering why I wasn't getting there. Now I know where I'm going. I'm going home, back to the full awareness and experience of my communion with God. And nothing can stop me from getting there. God has promised, and I believe this promise at last. God has also shown me the way, actually not the way, but a way. For God's greatest truth is that there is not one way only, but many ways home. There are 1,000 paths to God, and every one will get you there. Indeed, all paths lead to God. This is because there is no other place to go. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk now about how to go home. We're going to discuss the experience of oneness with the divine, or what I call communion with God. We're going to describe a path to that experience, a pathway through our illusions to the ultimate reality. We're going to speak here with one voice. I believe it to be the voice of God, the inspiration of God, the presence of God moving through me and through you. If I did not believe that God's voice, God's inspiration, and God's presence could move through all of us, I would have to give up my faith that God could inspire all of the world's religions. I'm not willing to do that. I believe on this score, religions have it right. God does come into our lives in real and present ways, and we don't have to be saints or sages for this to happen. I do not need you to join me in this belief, nor to believe any of the words that you are hearing. Indeed, I would be happiest if you did not. Do not believe anything you hear in this program. No. Simply no. No, if any of this is your truth. If it is, it will ring true, for you will have been reunited with your innermost wisdom. If it is not, you will know that too, once again from having been reunited with your innermost wisdom. In either event, you will have benefited enormously, for you will have experienced in that moment of reunification your own communion with God. And that is what you intended when you came here, to this program and to this planet.
God has spoken to you many times in many ways over many years, but seldom as directly as this. This time I speak to you as you. And that has occurred on only a handful of occasions in the whole of your history. Few humans have had the courage to hear me in this way, as themselves, and fewer still have shared with others what they have heard. Those few who have listened and shared have changed the world. Aesop, Confucius, Lao Tzu, Buddha, Mohammed, Moses, and Jesus were among them. So too, Hong Tzu, Aristotle, Huang Po, Sahara, Mahavira, Krishnamurti, also Paramahansa Yogananda, Ramana Maharshi, Kabir, Ralph Waldo Emerson, Thich Nhat Hanh, the Dalai Lama, Elizabeth Clinton, as well Sri Aurobindo, Mother Teresa, Meher Baba, Mahatma Gandhi, Khalil Gibran, Baha'u'llah, Ernest Holmes Sai Baba, including Joan of Arc, Francis of Assisi, Joseph Smith, and more, others not mentioned here. This list could go on, yet relative to the total number of humans who have inhabited your planet, the number has been minuscule. These few have been my messengers, for all have brought forward the truth within their hearts as best they understood it, as purely as they knew how. And while they have each done so through imperfect filters, they have nonetheless brought to your awareness extraordinary wisdom, from which the whole human race has benefited. What is amazing is how similar their insights have been, offered at vastly different times and places, separated by legions and centuries. They might just as well have been speaking all at the same time, so tiny have been the variances between them, and so huge the commonalities. Now it is time to expand this list to include others, living today as my latest messengers.
We will speak with one voice.
Unless we do not.
Unless we do not.